backpack. A backpack. Okay. Good evening. It's a new year. I realize we got to start everything all over again. All right. Good evening. Yeah, I like it. All right. Like I've been doing when I've been preaching in the evenings for the last year or so, I have tonight, I want to do a scripture study concept discussion right here to the Larson girls. This is where I like to set up, and you guys started right set right here, so you guys get to just stare nice and close. I want to do kind of what we have been doing, a scripture study conversation. We're going to do a word study tonight, so I will need someone to run a microphone for the benefit of the people who are live streaming. That someone looks like my youngest son. Aww. It's because you're so speedy. All right. So, as I was thinking about tonight and what I wanted to have us talk about, well, I wasn't even thinking about having it as a discussion. It was just I put it in my notes. I have a file in here that's for sermons and just thoughts I have when I'm praying or when I hear something or when I'm reading. And so what I want to have, I want to have a word study, a concept study tonight on the word or the concept of being bold or boldness. So this is one of those words that we find in a handful of places in Scripture. And as I looked at it, I kind of broke it into a couple different ways that the word is used to describe something with the people, with an interaction with God, with things that they did. And I just want to talk about it tonight, and we'll do as we have done in the past, is we'll read a scripture, and then I'll give you guys some opportunity to give your thoughts, and we can add to or anything like that. But what I want to do first, as I always do, is we'll go ahead and we'll give some definitions. So bold, this is from Webster's 1828, bold, a couple different definitions. Daring, courageous, brave or intrepid, fearless, applied to men or other animals, as in bold as a lion. It's probably one of those we hear quite a bit. The second one here under bold, requiring courage in the execution, executed with spirit or boldness, planned with courage and spirit as a bold enterprise. Or number three, confident, not timorous. Timorous? 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 Any one of these teachers here? And that means?
Timid.
Timid, okay. One of these other things says timidity. I knew what timidity was, but timorous. So we have this first. This is for bold. So probably within there comes, as you think of the word bold, a handful of things: daring, courageous. We would think that in bold, being or requiring courage in what you're doing. So doing something in boldness, not just having that courage, but actually working it out, and then confidence. And so then I have also the word, I just threw the definition here, of boldness, because we see that in Scripture as well. And so a couple different definitions in 1828 for this: freedom from timidity, from being timid, or liberty. And it has a citation here in 2 Corinthians 7 and 3, where Paul says, "Great is my boldness of speech towards you." So this liberty, not feeling timid in it. Confidence, a confident trust. We have boldness and access with confidence. Freedom from bashfulness, assurance, or confidence again. I also want to look real quick in the scripture and just look at Strong's on this. And I will have to find the citation here. So in Strong's, we find this word bold. Sometimes it's listed, it's translated into bold or boldness or confidence. And so it's a joint word from two different things, but it's all outspokenness, frankness, bluntness, publicity, assurance, confidence. So probably in that encompasses some of the thoughts that you guys have when you think of this word boldness. There's a scripture that we'll read in a little bit, but it's a scripture that I have thought about a lot. In fact, you know what? We'll just go ahead and we'll start with that one. I want to start in Hebrews chapter 4. And there are some places in my scripture that I have extra underlinings or things like that. And this is a scripture I have because it brings a thought to my mind. So I'll begin by reading this first scripture passage, and then everybody will join in reading all the rest of them. So I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 4, and we're going to read 14 through 16. So the end of this chapter. Hebrews chapter 4, 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So I have in years ago when I was studying and reading through the Bible, one of the times I read through it, I was taking notes, and I wrote a note in here, this 20-something-year-old note, for boldly. I said, going with a purpose or for a cause. So one of the things I want to start with us thinking about boldness is we look at one of these definitions of being bold, and it is confident, being confident. And so here the writer is saying, and he's giving this description to the people, and he says, because we have a high priest, Jesus Christ, let us be firm in our belief and in our profession of faith, because the God who we believe in is not a God who has no clue what we're going through, who has never been there or done that, but felt temptation, felt pain, felt sorrow, felt hunger, felt sadness, felt happiness, joy. He laughed. He cried. He felt hunger. He had acne. He had to go to the bathroom. All of these things. This is the God that we serve. And so then the writer here is telling the Hebrews, this is because of this, we can come confidently to God's throne, because we have a God who knows what we're going through. And I want us to consider that tonight as we think about our relationship with God. Is one of these things, especially when we're going and like if maybe in your life you're in this time where you're wanting some advice or you're looking for some direction, you typically will gravitate towards someone who has been there before. Why do I want to ask my oldest son, Easton, for some advice on marriage? He's 16. He's not dumb or anything, but he hasn't been there yet. So I would, you know, when we go for things, when we want answers or direction, it's our nature that we look to someone who has been there. And the writer here is calling to the people and saying, we can go with confidence to the throne of grace because the God who we believe and we serve knows what we've been through, has felt the pain and the frustration and all of those things, and knows what it is that we need. And so this is the first thing I want us to think about when we think about boldness, is this confidence. And one of these things I also want us to think about is I can't be confident in something if I know nothing about it. I don't know anything about nuclear physics. Nothing. I've never looked at it. I don't care about it. It means nothing to me. I'm sure it exists, but it doesn't have anything to do with my mind. So I can't speak about that confidently. I wouldn't make a bold statement, you know, confidently to say, well, nuclear physics says this. I wouldn't. But because I've spent time in prayer, talking to and seeking the Lord, because I've read the scriptures that give me a picture of Jesus Christ and why he came and what it is that he desired to do, because I know him and I've experienced him, I can have confidence and I can go boldly to him to say, Lord, I know you know what I'm going through. And perhaps we don't pray like that, but maybe we ought to. This confidence in the Lord, I know that you know where I'm at right now. So that's my first point. Does anybody have anything they want to add, a scripture they want to give, a thought that brings in their mind? If you do, raise your hand. We'll get a microphone to you for the for the benefit of the people who are live streaming. Excellent. I'm doing a great job. Nobody has a comment at all. I'm just writing down here so I remember I've touched this point. Okay. Let's move on. I need someone to find Alma chapter 18 and someone in a nice, loud, strong, confident voice to read Alma chapter 18, verses 13 to 14. So Alma 18, 13 through 14. Let me get there. So I'll get you on the next one. Karen's going to read this one. You have the next one. Let me get there. So this is Alma talking to one of his three sons. This is him talking to Helaman. And so he makes this statement. Go ahead, Karen.
Just 13 and 14.
I got...
And now as ye have...
Hang on. Let's back up. Go 11 through 14.
Now you're pushing it. And now, my son, I have told you this, that ye may learn wisdom, that ye may learn of me, that there is no other way nor means whereby man can be saved, only and through Christ. Behold, he is the life and the light of the world. Behold, he is the word of truth and righteousness. And now ye have begun to teach the word. Even so, I would that ye should continue to teach, and I would that ye would be diligent and temperate in all things. See that ye are not lifted up unto pride. Yea, see that ye do not boast in your own wisdom, nor in your much strength. Use boldness, but not overbearance.
All right. So we read this particular scripture, and this is Alma. He's talking to his son, who is a minister, and he is talking to him and has given him this encouragement. Continue to teach the word. Jesus Christ, who you have come to learn of and know and have this belief in. And then he says, remember to be diligent, to be temperate, and don't become prideful, to boast in your wisdom. And then he says, use boldness, but not overbearance. And so I think about this word bold here, and what it is that he's saying, have confidence in what you have learned, what you have experienced, what you know to be true, and to say it. But don't be overbearing. Let's look. I have in here, I defined overbearing. So, bearing down, repressing, haughty, disposed or tending to repress or subdue by effrontery. Ooh, yeah, I better look up effrontery. Didn't expect that one to come up. Effrontery, that's with, let's see what old Noah Webster says about effrontery. Effrontery, all these words, impudence, assurance, shameless boldness, sauciness. Teach the word, but don't be saucy. So he's making this statement, and this is something that I think is important that we remember as the ministry, that and as parents, is that, you know, we've had these experiences. Hopefully we've had these experiences which lead us to think and move and act and answer and make decisions in a certain way towards Christ. And we want to influence those who are in our sphere of influence. My sphere of influence as a minister includes all of you and those who want to come and hear what the Lord has put upon my heart. My sphere of influence includes my kids who have no choice whether or not they listen to me. And one of these things that we find ourselves into is because we've experienced all these things, because we've had this experience with God and we believe Him and we know it and we've felt it and we're assured of it and we, you know, it's directed our life, is we want to continue to share. And the wisdom that Alma is telling his son, he says, be bold, speak confidently of Christ, but don't be overbearing, because those people who you're talking to still have those same experiences that you have. And so one of these things I think that I wanted us just to think about tonight is the importance of being bold, confident, and being courageous in what we say, how we speak for Christ, but remembering that we came to this belief not because somebody sat us down and forced us to hold scriptures and recite them over and over again all day, but because they talked to us and encouraged us and told testimonies and you know, gave us these words of wisdom here and there a little bit. Say, think about this. Hey, consider that. And the Lord did His work. And the boldness is in that you're not afraid, but remembering that we're not to be overbearing. And I don't think that there's another verse like this in Scripture where there's this warning to the ministry to be cautious about shoving people down with the gospel. Maybe Alma was saying that because maybe this was one of, this isn't Helaman, this is Shiblon, this is one of his second sons. Maybe that was in his nature. Maybe that was his nature. You know, he was kind of a nag. That was his nature. And so Alma's saying, you've had these experiences, be courageous and say it, but remember that we need to make sure that we are giving little pieces and not overbearing people. Anybody have any thoughts on that? Oh. Sorry? Aunt Jen.
I'm not 100% sure if this goes with this or not. It was just something that came to my mind. We're talking about boldness. In high school, in my band class, had a great band director. And he told us, you know, you practice, you study, you work. And we were playing some arrangement, and we weren't confident. You know, we weren't doing what we needed to do with it. We weren't, you know, attacking the parts loudly that we should or whatever, using the dynamics. And he said, I want you, if you're going to make a mistake, make it loud. He said, we're all going to mess up sometimes. There's going to be things that we do. And I'd rather you make a loud mistake than to do everything right and do it quietly so no one notices. I don't know if it goes with this or if it goes with the last one or what, but obviously it stayed with me for many, many years, but I liked that. I liked that advice.
I think that's good. Very good. Anybody else? I got Susie and then Gary.
I was just thinking that this scripture goes really well with the one that reminds us to do everything in love. When we approach somebody, every action that we do should be tempered with love, which would take away that pride or that being overbearing.
Yeah, very good. And that takes boldness, right? This confidence, and it takes courage, which Leonard, that it's difficult to go to somebody when we see them failing or they've hurt us. Yeah. Go ahead, Gary.
And I just wanted to speak, coming from the other side of the spectrum on this, and it's not to do with overbearance, but I think a lot of us, including myself, really had a challenge within myself of being bold. When you really have a responsibility or have to take action in doing something that you're not used to or haven't experienced in the past, that you start getting those butterflies in your stomach, and then you have doubt within yourself, hey, am I going to be able to do this without falling apart? So it's kind of like I look at this as a act of love towards an individual to make sure that they understand that, hey, if you know it, you know, be confident in that. And, you know, that boldness is just proving to others through love that you are trying to help them in a way that will give them strength as well.
Very good. All right, let me get someone to turn to Moroni chapter 8. And we'll read verse 18, and this goes very well with what Gary just said. So Moroni, chapter 8, someone read verse 18 for me, please. Not everybody at once, because that gets confusing.
I'll read it.
Nobody laughs at that joke as much as they used to. You should have been here years ago, Larson girls. That was a killer joke every time. All right, Moroni 8 and 18.
Behold, I speak with boldness, having authority from God. And I fear not what man can do, for perfect love casteth out all fear. And I am filled with charity, which is everlasting love. Wherefore all children are alike unto me. Wherefore I love little children with a perfect love, and they are all alike and partakers of salvation.
So back story or the background to this particular verse is that Mormon was writing to his son Moroni, and he was giving correction to his son. He says, I've heard that the people are baptizing little children, and this is not in accordance with God's gospel. And he goes through all this saying that, you know, baptism is for those who are aware and capable of committing sin, knowing what they're doing, and it's a perversion of what God has put in place. And then he makes the statement because he, you know, for whatever reason, maybe he was telling Moroni this because people were not going to accept it very well. And so he says, I'm speaking boldly, courageously, because God has given me authority to say this, and I'm not afraid of what men can do. So I'll take just a second here, and I'll brag really quick on something I overheard today as we're sitting outside, and there was a conversation going about our brother Dwayne and our brother Brian, who are getting ready to go to Saudi Arabia, and some people who are not very happy about them going into a place of danger. And the question was asked, well, what does Dwayne think? And it was said, he doesn't seem to be worried about it at all. Well, why? I don't want to take anything from you, but my assumption is because we have this boldness, this confidence in God and courage because he has given authority and he has sent you. And whatever happens, it's in the Lord's control and we have confidence in that. Well, I think about that, how that's pertained to my life. And I will tell you that in my professional life, you know, when I became a police officer 20 years ago now, I was not spiritually in a great place. I was making changes. I'd been making changes, but I certainly wasn't courageous or confident to stand up for what I believed in. It was very easy for me to participate in conversations and things which were inappropriate. I had all these struggles, and it was a real conflict within me because I knew that I had promised the Lord to do something different, but I had a lot of problems with courage. I didn't have boldness, though I knew what the Lord had called me to and his desire from me. And near the end of my time there, I had made some very bold statements and changed some things in my life. When I sat down for my very first interview for the fire department that I'm working now, they asked me to tell them about something about myself. And the first thing I told them is I said, I am a minister of Jesus Christ. I am an assistant pastor of a local, or I may have been a pastor at that point, assistant pastor. My life is dedicated to serving God. That's who I am. And I felt like the Lord put that on my heart, that if he was going to bless me, I had to move forward courageously and to declare who I am. And I couldn't do that unless I was prepared for everything that might come at me afterwards. And if I wasn't confident in my testimony, if I wasn't confident that the Lord is real and that he works and moves, if I wasn't confident that my calling was of God, you know, I haven't gone to a seminary. Most people in my department probably assume that I have. And those who have found out, well, how can you be a minister if you haven't? Well, let me tell you why I'm confident that this is what the Lord has called me to. And so I want us just to think about that this is an important thing that we have. We can be bold, courageous, being willing to say something that might not be popular at all if we know that God is the one who has called us to say it and do it and to act that way. And this is an important thing, not being afraid of what men can do. What is it that they can take from you? Men can certainly take my life from me. My hope and my confidence is beyond this life. So they really don't have anything. And this is something I feel like is incredibly important for us to consider. Let me give a moment for anybody to give any comments. Aunt Jen?
Uncle Joel sent a comment for the last one.
He sent it to me too. I'm sorry. Where's he texting from?
My house.
Oh, okay. I had heard earlier today he was at the ranch. I'm like, well, that's really good service. All right, Unc, we'll read it here. Did you have comments otherwise, or do you want me to? Okay. So I'll jump into that one after I give a moment for anybody to come, because it was on the previous one. So what this Moroni chapter 8, verse 18, anybody have any comments they want to give on that? Okay. So Joel would like for us to read Colossians chapter 4. So we will, Colossians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. This is this about being bold but not overbearing. So he makes this statement, that I might make it manifest as I ought to speak, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. Very good. If you were here, Unc, I'd let you give a dissertation on that. All right. Very good. Let's go ahead and move forward. I've got two somewhat long readings here, so whoever is going to volunteer now can break it up if they want. But we're going to turn to Philippians in the first chapter, and we're going to read verses 1 through 14. So Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. And I'll just wait here in uncomfortable silence till somebody volunteers. Thank you, Jennifer.
1:1-14, right?
Yep. Philippians 1:1-14.
Paul and Timotheus.
That's him.
The servants of Jesus Christ to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making request with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defiance and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace.
The defense of the gospel, not defiance.
Defense, I apologize.
Yep, that's all right. Very different word.
Right? Let's see. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the other, I read too far, right?
That's okay.
That's to 14.
Read to 17. I like that. 17 is a good ending.
But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defiance of the gospel.
Defense again.
Defense,
yeah.
Jeez. I don't like that word, apparently.
That's all right. So a lot of this, I could have just broken this down to verses 12 through 17. But I wanted to read all of it because Paul is telling this, he's making this statement, and he's talking to the people in Philippi, and he's commending all of these things, and he's laying out what it was that happened, and he lays down, he's saying, this is your guys' character, and I'm praying for you, and I see that you guys, you know what's going on with me and where I'm at. And he says that because of what I'm going through, you guys have had confidence that you have grown more bold to speak the word without fear. He says, all these things that have happened to me, it says, they've fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. Everything that's happened to me has actually caused the gospel to go forward rather than to go backwards. And so Paul makes this statement. He says, what I've gone through has helped other people to have more boldness for Jesus Christ. And so then the question is what happened to Paul in Philippi? So let's look at that real quick. Let's turn to Acts chapter 16. And I will go ahead, and we're not going to read all of this, but I'll preface a little bit of it here. So Paul and Silas are traveling, and they're going through all of the land. And it says that they were going into all these weird places. In 7, come to Mysia, and they went to they were going to try to go to this place Bithynia, and the Spirit of the Lord told them not to. And so they came to this place instead. You know, so they had this intent. Hey, I'm going to go here. And the Lord said, nope, that's not where I want you to go. So they say, well, what are we going to do? Okay, let's go to Troas instead. And there it says in verse 9, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he'd seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called for us to preach the gospel unto them. So here you have Paul and Silas and whoever was with them. The plans they had were changed, which is something that our ministry pray about all the time. Hey, make sure that where I'm at is where you want me to be. And the Lord gave them this dream and a man saying, we need your help. And so they said, well, certainly the Lord wants us to go and preach there. So they went there. They took off and they went to the chief city, the important city. Maybe it was like the capital there of Philippi. And when they were there, they went and they were talking to people and preaching. And there was a damsel who was possessed with a spirit of divination, followed them around and kept talking and soothsaying. And so she was someone who somehow had this ability to see or understand the future. She had people who paid her for this gift. And she began following Paul and Silas. And while she was there, Paul, it says, he was grieved, and he turned and said to the spirit that was in her, I command thee in the name of Christ Jesus to come out of her. And that spirit left. And the people who had employed her to give some direction for the things that they had done and their money and all that became very upset and caused an uproar. And so Paul and Silas were taken. And it says, verse 22, and the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. I want you to put yourself in Paul and Silas's shoes here for a second as they're in the stocks. Is the Lord gave them a dream and said, go to this place. And they said, well, surely then the Lord wants us to go and preach the gospel. And they go there and they find themselves stripped naked, beaten in front of, it says, they were brought in front of the magistrates and a multitude. And the magistrates, and so, you know, these judges ripped their clothes off and said, start beating on them. And threw them in, and they were taken the very deepest part of the prison, and their feet were locked in. And so Paul and Silas had this this challenge in front of them. How do you perceive what's going on? And so it says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And I just think about this. If we think about this in our life, where your expectations, those things that you thought or hoped or dreamed were going to happen, are not quite that way, and life takes a very difficult turn, is this what's in your heart to do? Certainly it was within reason for them to lament what had happened to them, to be frustrated, maybe even frustrated with God. And yet, It says they prayed and sang praises to God. And everyone there heard it. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, drew his sword, and he would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled, because it was going to be pretty bad for him when the magistrates found out that all the prisoners had gotten out. And it probably would have been a much easier death for him to stab himself than what they would do to him. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And we go through, and so, you know, now we look at this situation, and now we go back and we read again in Philippians chapter 1. And Paul says in verse 12, "I would that you should understand, brethren, that those things which have happened to me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in the palace and in all other places. And many brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." This particular, my thought that I have as I read this was how important the boldness in sharing your testimony is. Uh-oh. You got a dying duck or an awooga horn, one or the other. How important your testimony is, because those things that you have gone through, the struggles that you have had, the way the Lord has interacted in your life, as it did with the people in Philippi and beyond there, what they saw and heard and recognized and they knew, everybody talked about it. Everybody had to have talked about it. What they knew Paul went through and where he was then, it gave them courage. Courage. Not, hey, if we speak for the Lord, we're never going to end up in prison, but it was courage. The Lord knows how to deliver. And so, as we're talking about boldness tonight, I want you to think about that aspect of boldness, is that what others have gone through should give you confidence and courage to stand for whatever challenge you have in front of you, whatever it is, to be bold in it. Because others have been through very similar things. So I'm going to give a moment if anybody has something they want to say about that. Okay. Let me look and see what my... Paul talks about this, and we don't have to read it, but he talks about this in other places. And in Thessalonica, he talks to the people about that. He says, "You knew that we were suffered and we were shamefully entreated, but we were bold in God to speak unto you the gospel with much contention." We weren't afraid because we knew what God had done for us. All right, let's turn to 2 Nephi chapter 3. And in 2 Nephi chapter 3, I would like somebody to read for me here in this kind of Psalm of Nephi. I'll have you read verse 30 through 39. Gary. 2 Nephi 3:30 through 39.
"Behold, my soul delighteth in the things of the Lord, and my heart pondereth continually upon the things which I have seen and heard. Nevertheless," that was actually a rhyme, kind of comical, he's rapping. Anyway, sorry. some of these things just amuse me.
Oh, Gary.
"Nevertheless, notwithstanding the great goodness of the Lord in showing me his great and marvelous works, my heart exclaimeth, O wretched man that I am, yea, my heart sorroweth because of my flesh. My soul grieveth because of mine iniquities. I am encompassed about because of the temptations and the sins which doth so easily beset me. And when I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sins. Nevertheless, I know in whom I have trusted. My God hath been my support. He hath led me through mine afflictions in the wilderness, and he hath preserved me upon the waters of the great deep. He hath filled me with his love, even to the consuming of my flesh. He hath confounded mine enemies, and the causing of them to quake before me. Behold, he hath heard my cry by day, and he hath given me knowledge by visions in the night time. And by day have I waxed bold in mighty prayer before him. Yea, my voice have I sent up on high, and angels came down and ministered unto me.
So we look at this, and we've made, there's been hundreds of sermons about this particular chapter and all of these things it says. Just, I wanted us to think about this as Nephi lays down all these things, and it's this, we've talked about this before, he's given this up and down, you know, that I'm high and I'm low, and I've, things have been good and things have been bad and all of that. But after he talks about these things, about how God's been with him and how he struggled and all of that, he makes a statement. He says, but I've been bold in mighty prayer. I have gone to the Lord courageously. And I think that that's something that is important, is that it takes courage sometimes to go to the greatest person, or, you know, think about it, if any of you have ever gone to your boss at work and you want to ask for a raise because, well, I've worked 70 hours a week for the last year and, you know, I've done all of these things, and yet going to someone with authority over you can sometimes be difficult to do. You might be timid or you're afraid, but, you know, to go there and to have that, you have to come with this great amount of courage. You're going in front of somebody who has the ability to say, I actually don't think you're as good of an employee as you think you are, right? And so Nephi says that, you know, he's had these experiences which helped him to know that God knew him and loved him. And so he says, I waxed bold in mighty prayer. I went before him boldly without fear to ask the Lord for what I needed. Now that's something that I wonder if we do. I wonder if I do. Do I go to the Lord, not disrespectfully or anything, but going to him? You know, I think about last week in our sacrament service, I think it was Joel talked about Jacob, and he wrestled with a man who was an angel or Jesus Christ or whatever it was. And I think about that. It says he wrestled him all through the night, and it probably didn't take too long before he realized this isn't just a normal guy. And yet Jacob didn't let go. And I'm sure that that man or that angel or Christ, if you think that's who it was certainly capable of shaking him. And yet Jacob said, I'm not going to let go. And he was bold, so bold that when the angel or whoever it was said, I got to go, I'm going to get you off of me, Jacob says, I will not let go until you give me a blessing. I haven't fought with you all night long for me to walk away with nothing except for a messed up hip. And this boldness in prayer. And I think it has to be done cautiously, but I think that we have a right to go to the Lord and to ask Him for things. To ask Him for things. To go courageously and confidently, because in that first scripture we read, Christ knows what it's like. He knows what our needs are. And I look at this particular scripture about Nephi, and I think this is what it is. I've had all these experiences, so I'm confident to go before the Lord. I'm not afraid, because I know that He loves me, and I know that He wants to bless me. So give a moment for anybody to have any comments they have on that before we move forward. Susie?
Years ago, I saw a movie. I can't think of the name of it right now, but there was a little boy who was waiting for his father to come back from war, and a minister had, like, told him to, like, pray about it, you know, and to make sure that he believed what he was praying, and he, like, put his whole heart into it, and he would go to the end of the pier and would face in the direction of the country where his father was, and, like, his whole body, like, he would pray, and then he would say, I believe you can do it. I believe you can do it. And I know it was a fictional movie, but the father came home eventually, and it was a miracle. And there was even a point in the film where some people in the town were challenging his belief and were saying, like, well, your scripture says that if you have enough faith, you can move a mountain. Move that mountain right there. And he is there and he is praying with all of his heart and he's saying, I believe you can do it, I believe you can do it. And there was an earthquake. And I don't know, that movie just really touched my heart and even kind of changed the way that I prayed, that when I did ask for things, I would have to ask myself, am I asking this truly believing that he can give me this and that he is loving and will give it to me if that's what's best for me? So I think the boldness should come from a place of faith and acknowledgement of God's greatness above us.
Very good. Thank you. All right, let's move forward. I've got three more scriptures here. So let's go to Jacob chapter 2. It's the book of Jacob chapter 2. And we're going to read I'm going to have somebody read for me verses. Well, I'm trying to think of what I want to, how much I want to read here. I'll have somebody read verses. I'll go ahead and read. I'll just do it. I'll tell you here in a second. I'm trying to think of where I want to jump. I'll just kind of preface a bunch of this. So we're gonna be in the beginning of chapter 2, and so this is, at the end of chapter 1, if we look here, Nephi, who we just finished reading his words and all that, he dies, and so his younger son Jacob is there and has inherited a group of people who kind of had a mess going on there. And so, as you know, at the end of chapter 1, Jacob, he's writing, he says, we magnified our office, we took responsibility, we answered the sins of the people upon our own head if we didn't teach them the Word of God with all diligence. He says, if we didn't teach the Word of God to them, we recognized that we were supposed to be guilty. We were guilty for it. And so then chapter 2 starts with Jacob having this sermon, probably, or maybe he just called the people together, and he makes this statement, and later on he says, I wish that I could have called you here today to talk to you about things that were a little bit more pleasant to hear. He says, but the Lord has told me that I need to talk to you about something different. And so he says, he goes in verse 5, behold, hearken unto me, and know that by the help of the all-powerful Creator of heaven and earth, I can tell you concerning your thoughts, how you are beginning to labor in sin, which sin appeareth very abominable unto me, yea, and abominable unto God. It grieveth my soul, and caused me to shrink with shame before the presence of my Maker, that I must testify unto you concerning the wickedness of your heart. Also it grieveth me that I must use so much boldness of speech concerning you before your wives and your children, many of whose feelings are exceeding tender and chaste and delicate before God, which thing is pleasing to God. It supposeth me that they have come up hither to hear the pleasing word of God, the word which heals the wounded soul. Wherefore it burdens my soul that I should be constrained because of the strict commandment which I have received from God to admonish you according to your crimes, to enlarge the wounds of those which are already wounded, instead of consoling and healing their wounds. And those which have not been wounded, instead of feasting upon the pleasing word of God, have daggers placed in their souls and wound their delicate minds. So he goes on to talk about, he says, you know, so if we listen to all of this, or you think about all this, if you don't know what's going on here, you know, Jacob went to talk to the people with the intent to bring some sort of encouraging message. And it says here that there were people who he knew that their wound, they needed to hear the word of God that would help to bring peace. But the Lord told him, you need to say something different. And he says, I wish I didn't have to be so bold to speak with so much power. One of these definitions of boldness is freedom from being timid, or liberty. He says, I wish I didn't have to speak with so much liberty. I wish I didn't have to be so free from being timid, because I'm going to say things that are hard to hear. And he told those people, you know, you guys are starting to go down this path of taking on other wives and all of this, and you are destroying the hearts of your wives and your children. And so he talks to them about that, about how it's abominable to have other wives, to take on multiple wives. And he makes this statement, you know, you try to justify saying, well, David of old did it, but the Lord was grieved with that. But one of these things I want to think about is that we can be bold to feel freedom to speak and to be courageous to say it when the Lord has told us what to say. This is, you know, Jacob had gone and to meet with the people, and his intent wasn't to talk about this, but the Lord said, there is something that you need to say. I have told you. You say it. And it goes kind of back to what I think it was Paul who said, you know, I'm not afraid of what man can do. And I think this is something that is important. My note that I put here is, when God leads your mind, you can be bold. When God leads your mind, you can be bold. When God leads you in what to say, you can be bold. And to say what he has told you to, and to sit down again. And when the Lord works upon you and tells you those things, you should be bold. And so one of these things is we see, and I think it's in maybe Ephesians, where Paul asked the people, he says, pray for me that I would have boldness, that I would know what the Lord would have me to say. And so these two scriptures are linked together, that the Lord can use you, and we should want him to use you to speak. And, you know, in my time as a minister or times where I've been counseling with people, you know, when they have a problem or something, you know, I've never in my life have I been like, I really want to give it to these people, tell them what they're doing wrong. But there's been times where the Lord has told me. The Lord has told me that. And I go back to what I read at the end of Jacob chapter 1 here, that Jacob said, we magnified our office by taking responsibility and doing what the Lord told us to do. And we are bold in that. So I'll give you guys a moment if anybody wants to say anything about that. So I think this should be part of our prayer always. You know, as you pray, hopefully in the morning you get up and you begin your day with prayer. And I hope that part of your prayer is that, you know, Lord, tell me what you want me to do today. If there's something you want me to say, someone you want me to talk to, tell me. This morning, Aaron, as he was given his sermon, which isn't necessarily about this, but, you know, this man was going about his day and the Lord spoke to him and said, turn around, go home. I have something that you need to do. And it's going to cost you all of your friends. And probably, as you read further in the Book of Mormon, probably all of his family as well. And but the Lord spoke to him, and he had courage to do what the Lord asked him to do. And we should be praying for that, that the Lord would lead you in all that you do. And if it's that you need to say something, that he'll give you the words, and that you will be confident to do so. Go to my last scripture here. We're going to go to 1 John chapter 2. And I will have somebody read 1 John chapter 2, 27 through 28, please. Oh, I'm sorry, 27 through 29. Hear all the same voices anytime I do this. Everybody here has a cell phone in their pocket except Betty. And it's in her purse. She didn't bring it? Okay. She'd have her surf and Instagram during the service. Yeah. All right. I got Karen who's already grabbed it. Okay. 27 through 29. 1 John 2, 27 through 29.
But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If we know that he is righteous, ye know that every one that doeth righteousness is born of him.
So this morning, Aaron, and one of these things he talked about is he talked about that Christ is our perfect friend, and he laid out a handful of things. And he says, you know, if you look, it's all down to this relationship where Christ is, as he says in John chapter 15, the vine, and we're the branches, and everything flows from him to us. And so he starts here in verse 27 saying that, you know, you've had this anointing, this setting aside, this experience and this indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit talks to you and teaches you. And it says, "It even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him." Is that the Spirit of Christ is working. You know, those of you who have this indwelling of the Spirit of Christ, of the Holy Spirit within you, is encouraging you to walk after him. And then he goes on to say, now do your part and abide in him. Because he is going to come again, whether we're here and we see him, as the scriptures say, coming in the clouds, or whether we lay down this life before then and we stand in judgment, we will see Christ. And it says that we might have confidence and not be ashamed at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. And so this last thing I want us to think about is this boldness here, or this it's translated there as confidence, that we may be confident because we are abiding in him. What does it mean to abide in Christ? There's been hundreds of sermons about that and studies and all of those things. But one thing I want to remind all of you who have this gift of the Holy Ghost within you is one of the jobs of the Holy Ghost is to be speaking to you and touching your heart, that when you are not abiding in him, that you are hearing it and that you are feeling it. I won't ask for a show of hands, but many of you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. And I find this frequently for me. I find myself challenged day by day. And a lot of times something may happen. I might say something before I even think about it or whatever. And I feel I'm going to say the word frustration of the Spirit. Adam, why? 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 Why would you say that? Why would you think that? Why would you do that? And that's the Holy Spirit's part. And now my part is to abide in him. To look at where I've failed or what I've done and, okay, how do I fix this? Which way do I go? So that someday when I stand before the Lord, I can do so with confidence and boldness and not be ashamed and want to hide before the Lord. And I think verse 29 is essential here. It says, if you know that Christ is righteous, you know that everyone who has the name of Christ should likewise be righteous. To look to live according to the standard that he's asked us to, with his help and his assistance, to help you to accomplish all of those things. Does anybody have any comments here? Close our thing here. Anybody have any final comments? Okay. Oh, Gary?
Yeah, just
hang on. Wait for the mic.
Just real quick, going back to Jacob 2, and one of the things I appreciated in this chapter is verse 12, and Jacob is saying, wherefore I must tell you the truth according to the plainness of the Word of God. And, you know, I relate to that in so many different ways. Dealing with convoluted situations at work and the stories that you hear that just are wild, and how people get to places in their lives, especially when it comes to work, when you're given specific tasks and, you know, basically fulfill your task, honest day's work for an honest day pay, and all the things that you hear to try to get things back on track a lot of times, to where, you know, once you listen to an individual, the simplicity of the truth of the gospel and how it applies towards directing somebody and helping them out with whatever it is, with their
job requirements or their directives of the day. It's interesting how somebody can get so twisted up, but you could get them back on track with the plainness of the Word of God and how it applies to everyday life. And you use that and let the Spirit work with you to use that. And they just kind of look at you and, you know, give you that look like, well, yeah, you're right. I guess that's what I need to do and get things back on track. But it's interesting how people's lives can be so muddled up and cause a lot of confusion and disruption in operations, in emotions, in spiritual life, every aspect of it. But if you apply the plainness of the Word of God, how it helps keep that straight. So I thank God for that, how I've really learned that a lot with the position I'm in at work and dealing with all the craziness that goes along with supervision.
Very good. All right. Well, I hope I give you guys something to think about. And I was just kind of impressed by this word and kind of all of the different thoughts that I had around it. And hopefully you guys be thinking about this, about being courageous and what that means and when to be courageous and to be confident because you've experienced God or you have heard what someone else has gone through and it gives you that confidence that, hey, this is true. This is what we can do to be confident when you go before the Lord and be bold and to ask Him for those things. And of course, that doesn't mean demanding, but it means that I'm not afraid to ask the Lord for what's on my heart and what I need and let Him make that decision. But why not tell Him and to be asking the Lord to lead you every day, and that when that time comes, He gives you something to say or do, that you do so confidently that I've been sent, and I've been sent by the One who holds my soul and loves me, and He knows what He's doing, and He'll give me the strength to do it. So anyway, those are my thoughts tonight. I hope that you guys have been blessed by it. Thanks.